23 remaining, 15 seconds. Mayfield flings it, left side, end zone. Caught! Caught by Van Jefferson! With 9 seconds remaining, touchdown, LA!
20 fingers. Oh, my God, with the Burning Heart song going in the background? I'm jacked right now, dude.
Yes. The song is Burning Hearts by Survivor, a request from Greg from Georgetown here on All Request Friday. This is first up on TSN 1050. Baker Mayfield, a survivor of sorts as well, claimed off waivers by the LA Rams. Nobody really expected it would be a remote possibility that he starts. Well, he didn't start the game for the LA Rams. Comes in after the first series and somehow, some way, leads the Rams to victory over the Raiders. You heard the call on the Rams radio network. Time to welcome in Aaron Schatz, the editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders. Aaron, how surprised were you? And I think the answer is pretty obvious, that Baker Mayfield led the Rams to victory last night.
Oh, I was not surprised at all. I expected this the whole time. No, of course I was completely surprised. Nobody expected that a guy could come in with 2 days of practice and lead a 98-yard drive in 2 minutes with no timeouts. I mean, come on.
I mean, I almost think the bigger story here, like Mayfield, it's a fairy tale almost, but the way the Raiders blew that game and have blown so many big leads in the second half, Carlo and I were discussing it earlier, Aaron, how this is the fourth time they've blown a 13-point lead in the second half. Do you attribute that to coaching? Do you attribute that to just, I don't even know what you attribute it to. Please explain your thoughts.
I know the narrative is that it's coaching. It's hard to know how much is of coaching. You know, for example, the really bad penalty where Jerry Tillery knocked the ball out of that guy's hand.
Oh, idiot.
Cost him 15 yards. Tillery has only been in Vegas for a couple of weeks, right? So how do you blame McDaniels for the fact that Tillery did something stupid when Tillery hasn't even been there very long? Like, is that McDaniels' fault? I mean, what is McDaniels' fault is they punted on 4th and 1.
Yes.
They had 4th and 1 near midfield, and instead of going for it, they had 3rd and 1, and they ran this kind of hurried up, bad fullback give, and then they had 4th and 1, and instead of going for it, they punted. And, like, we talk about it all the time, like, going for it on 4th and 1 at midfield, you are more likely to win the game than punting the ball. And this was an example.
So we talk about McDaniels. There was a stat released today about the Raiders' season. That was their fourth loss when holding a 13-point lead. Like, is McDaniels' job on the line right now? Do you think he's a guy that could be replaced at the end of the season?
How much money does Mark Davis have to pay coaches over and over? He's not one of the richer NFL owners. I know we like to think of these guys as all being super duper rich, but he's not in the same category with like David Tepper and Dan Snyder. Like, how many coaches can the dude hire?
Yeah. Wow. He's probably stuck with this one for a while.
It seems that way. And my theory, Aaron, is that they're going to find a way to bring in Tom Brady next year, the McDaniels-Brady connection, and send Derek Carr packing. And it's amazing. Derek Carr was playing pretty well the last couple of weeks, and then, man, what a stinker from him. Let's talk about the DVOA ratings that you have on Football Insiders, a metric that you've created that kind of measures who you think is the real best team, kind of value above average of sorts when it comes to the National Football League. I was kind of surprised when researching your appearance this morning that the Buffalo Bills are number one on your rankings. How much does the loss of Von Miller affect how deep you think the Bills can go this season? They host the Jets on Sunday.
It hurts them because we need to get past Kansas City. To get past Kansas City, we need to be able to rush Patrick Mahomes with just 4 guys. If we're going to rush Patrick Mahomes with just 4 guys, we need the best 4 guys we can get. And so losing Von Miller is definitely a problem when it comes to the playoffs. I don't think it hurts them that much, though, on their way to the playoffs. I still think they're the favorite for the number one seed in the AFC. I still think they're the best team in the AFC at this point, even without Von Miller. But Kansas City is a particular matchup where they really needed him.
Mm-hmm. And they also really need home field advantage against Kansas City, because clearly they showed they've, you know, going into KC and winning again could be challenging for themselves. Looking across the board this weekend, there's some very favorable matchups, but, you know, you saw the game on Monday night with Tampa Bay, and me and my co-host here, Aaron Krolnick, have a debate about Tampa Bay and how they could potentially project the rest of the season here. I'm on Tampa Bay's side, just because as long as they have Tom Brady, I don't know how you could bet against them, but how do you think Tampa Bay favors throughout the rest of the season? How challenging or how much of a threat could they become playoff time?
Yeah, they're better than their record. Like, they're number 11 in our numbers right now. They have a top 10 defense. And believe it or not, they have a top 10 passing game. They are
not.
Oh,
come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And you questioned it on Monday night, and you questioned it, and you questioned it, and then they came back at the end of that game, and they showed you that they can pass the ball. They're terrible. Absolutely awful at running the ball. The reason why I say they have a top 10 passing game is that we compare plays to a baseline based on the down and distance. And Brady is constantly in terrible down and distance situations because the running game goes out and gets 1 yard on first down. Well, that's not the passing game's fault. So, I mean, Tampa Bay overall is a better team than their record. They can make some noise, but I don't see them getting past Dallas or Philadelphia. Those are the two best teams in the NFC.
Our guest is Aaron Schatz. He's the editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders. Coincidentally, Aaron, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at the San Francisco 49ers this weekend, and San Fran's got a new quarterback, Brock Purdy, under center. Obviously, it's a drop-off from Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't really know necessarily what Brock Purdy is or what he could be come playoff time, but do you think the loss of Jimmy G, assuming he's actually done for the year, does that remove San Fran from your list of contenders in the NFC?
No, but it drops them, I think, significantly. I know we all want to believe Jimmy G is this totally replaceable hack, but the fact is, like, they've been much better with him at quarterback than any of the backups.
Yeah, and the evidence is there to back it up. You know, I mean,
yeah, I mean, the numbers are just much better with Garoppolo than with Mullins or Beathard or even Trey Lance. And Purdy, I mean, Purdy's passing numbers were like a little bit below average last week, which is much better than what you would expect from a seventh-round rookie, but not as good as Garoppolo.
So you mentioned the teams in the NFC. You know, I'm a believer in the Bucs just because Brady's there. They're going to host a home game. You know how NFL playoffs work with games that are played at home. You talked about the Cowboys. You talked about the Eagles. But a team that you haven't mentioned, it's one of the top teams in the NFC right now, is the Minnesota Vikings. What does your DVOA system say about the Vikings? Because there's people that are calling them frauds, especially this week. They're going into Detroit, and they're underdogs. Help me understand this. Are the Vikings for real, or are they frauds?
Yeah, I prefer the term historically interesting.
Okay, there you go.
There's never been a 10-2 team like this. They are the worst 10-2 team of all time by any stat you look at. Yeah. By DVOA, they are by far the worst 10-2 team of all time. By just if you look at points scored and allowed, they're at plus 10. There had never been a 10-2 team below plus 36 until the Vikings, and they're at plus 10. They've allowed like 750 more yards than they've actually gained. There's never been a 10-2 team that did that. Like, it's crazy. You just keep thinking they can't keep getting away with these close wins, and then they keep getting away with these close wins. But it would only be appropriate for the Vikings if this came back and bit them and they finally lost a close one in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a regression to the mean in a negative way for the Minnesota Vikings, who've come out with so many wins, sneaking out wins over the Buffalo Bills, a game I was at just a couple of weeks ago when they probably shouldn't have won the game. You know, sometimes things fall the right way for you, and then maybe indeed, Aaron, as that could happen in a negative way for the Minnesota Vikings come playoff time. Thank you so much for doing this. A treat to have you on. He is Aaron Schatz, the editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders. You can follow him on Twitter at @FO_AShots. Thanks for doing this, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, guys.
That's Aaron Schatz. Aaron Schatz.
Shots.
Yes. Okay. Everybody. Maybe that.
All request Fridays. Maybe we get. Maybe we get that song playing coming up next.
Maybe Quentin Richardson would like that song. He will join us on
other
side.
He was big at shots.
Yeah, draining threes. And
that's what I mean.
You know, draining threes, doing the whole headbanging thing with the L.A. Clippers back in the day with Darius Miles, amongst others. Big fans of Q Rich. He is going to join us on the other side. It's a back-to-back with the Raptors and the Orlando Magic, the team that Q Rich covers these days, and my FanDuel best bets as well. Keep in mind, just a half an hour remaining in first up as we will go into full World Cup mode starting at 9:30 with Brendan Dunlop and Paul Dolan taking the baton from Carlo and I. The fourth and final half hour of First Up begins after this.